from the Air Base Ferrying Division of the Air Transport Command at Long Beach, California, the Bob Burns Program.
My folks are busy down that way and don't have any time to play. They sleep all night and rest all day.
Down in Arkansas.
Lifebuoy presents the Bob Burns Show, bringing you latest news of those kinfolks in Van Buren. More doings of the Arkansas Traveler. Mike Jones and his city slickers. Now, here he is himself, Bob Burns.
Thank you very much. And honestly, I wish all you people listening in could just be here and look out here and see all these fine-looking men of the 6th Ferrying Group. You know, they're the best. These are the men now that take the planes to the battlefields all over the world. And that's the outfit I tried to join. That's what I tried to get into. They told me it'd be easy to get in there. Somebody told me that getting into this outfit was just about like borrowing money from a finance company. That's what they said. No delay, no co-signers, and no payment for 30 days. But I went down to the recruiting office to get in, and, you know, I just put in there every recruiting office in the country. Got a picture of Uncle Sam out front. You remember that? And Uncle Sam looks right at you, and he points his finger right at you, and he says, "I need you." Well, I went down to this recruiting office, and there was the picture of Uncle Sam, but as I passed it, Uncle Sam looked right at me, and he pointed his finger at me, and he says, "I need you." I was so discouraged that I went in anyhow, and I took the examination, but honestly, man, I just couldn't. You know that test they give you where they try you out to see if you get dizzy easy? You know, they put you in a chair. They did me. They put you in a chair, and they spin you around, you know, blindfolded. Then take the blindfold off to see if you get dizzy. Well, they put me in the chair, and there happened to be a nurse and a captain in the room at the time. After they spun me around for about 5 minutes, they stopped and took the blindfold off of me. I saluted the nurse and kissed the captain and walked out an open window. But anyhow, I kept arguing with them, and finally I got them to take me up in a plane just to see how it would affect me. And so I went up in the plane with this fella, with the pilot, and after we got way up there, I noticed he had on a parachute. And I leaned over and I tapped him on the shoulder and I says, "Listen, brother, how come you got a parachute on and they didn't give me one?" And he turned his head around to me. He says, "My country needs me." But, you know, it was such a foggy morning, I'll never forget it if I live 1,000 years. And so as we flew around up there, well, suddenly this pilot kind of dipped down and went right back up again. And I leaned over. I says, "What'd you do that for?" And he says, "Well, I'm flying without instruments." And he says, "I just swooped down to pick up the flying seat." And I says, "Well, would you mind swooping down again so I can pick up my stomach?" "Well, sir," he says, "now you think that's a dive?" He says, "That ain't no dive." He says, "I'll show you what a dive is." And he did. He went way up there in the air, and suddenly he nosed over with those engines going as hard as they could, and he went right straight down just as hard as he could go. I declare, I thought I was going to die. Honestly, I thought I was going to die. I had the same feeling, the same experience that a person has when they're dying. All my past life paraded in front of my eyes. Well, I declare, it was so interesting, I had him go up and dive 8 more times. But now, you know, when I come here and I see the men that take these planes out, it makes me so proud of my folks down in Van Buren. You know, those women down there deserve a lot of credit. You know when they had that last scrap drive? These women down in Crawford County and Van Buren, they all, every one of those women turned in their automatic electric toasters in that scrap drive to make a bomber. And I don't believe there was a woman in Crawford County left with one of them electric toasters. I don't know how many toasters they put in, but I do know they put in enough toasters to make a bomber. And it was a pretty thing and worked just fine. Except every 3 minutes, the pilot kept popping out of the front seat. But now then, I see Spike Jones and his boys are all drawed back to play a number over there, and I declare I can't think of the name of that. Luther, come over here. That's my cousin Luther Roundtree, folks. He plays with Spike Jones. By the way, Luther, how come you didn't get in this outfit? How, don't flying appeal to you?
No, sir. I was up in a plane one time, and I pretty near got killed.
Well, how did that happen?
You know that little side door in the plane?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't the washroom.
Well, Luther, didn't you have a parachute?
Yeah, but I had trouble getting it open.
Well, now, the instructions are very simple, Luther. All you have to do is remember three simple words. Count 10, jerk. No, No, excuse me, Lou. I didn't mean that, Luther. I read that wrong. I mean, count 10, jerk. Now, I'll make it a little plainer, Luther. Now, you're supposed to jump out of the plane, count to 10, and pull the cord with your fingers.
Well, now, that's where they had me. I had to use my fingers to count 10.
Well, now, Luther, what is Spike Jones playing tonight?
A very tender little ditty called In My Arms.
Well, yes. And Del Porter's going to sing it. You know, that song was written by Private Frank Lester, who also wrote the Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition. Luther, on your way back to your seat, will you give Mr. Jones my compliment and tell him to fire when ready? Thanks.
His cousins had sent him a sweater, and his sister wrote a letter, but he wanted something much better. This boy who was sailing away, for his buddies were there with their sweethearts, all around him with their sweethearts. Now he'd never had any sweethearts, and over he'd say, in my arms, in my arms, ain't I never gonna get a girl in my arms. In my arms, in my arms, ain't I never gonna get a bundle of charms. Come the dawn, I'll be gone. I just gotta have a honey holding me tight. You can keep your knitting and your purling if I'm a-goin' to go to Berlin. Give me a girl in my arms tonight. Give me a girl in my arms tonight. I don't mean a girl who wants to marry, but with all these planes I have to ferry, give me a girl in my arms tonight.
Parker, that Spike Jones outfit makes more noise than a circus calio.
Now, don't mention the circus, Bob. It makes me yearn for the good old days when I was a barker in the circus.
Well, now, come to think of it, Dick, how did you get to be an announcer after being a barker?
Well, after I left the circus, I became a sidewalk pitchman. I remember one day I opened my portable stand on a busy street corner, started to make my pitch like this.
All right, folks, now don't rush by. Step right over this way and let me give you a demonstration of what is probably the most remarkable invention since Adam discovered the sewing machine.
Say, what's going on here? Break it up, buddy. I'll have no street peddling on my beat.
Now, just a minute, officer. Do you know what I'm selling?
I don't care what you're selling. Now, get along with you.
Now, you don't care about life, boy? I don't believe it. What would be pleasanter when you're all tired and hot and perspired than to take a cool, refreshing Lifebuoy shower?
Why,
don't answer that. Now, let me tell you that Lifebuoy's rich, foamy lather not only gets rid of dirt and grime, but it washes away your tiredness, peps you up, gives you a new interest in life. And since Lifebuoy also stops D.O., it gives other folks a new interest in you. Now, you wouldn't deny all those fine people the right to buy this boon to humanity, would you, officer?
Prevent it? Why, any person who don't buy Lifebuoy is guilty of disturbing the peace. Step right up, folks, and try a bottle of refreshing Lifebuoy. This way, hurry, hurry, hurry. Step this way now.
Now, you see, Bob, after that one encouraging experience, I decided to sell nothing but Lifebuoy from then on.
But now, don't you remember, Dick, we don't want to sell folks Lifebuoy. We just want them to buy it.
Now, let's look in on the town where the Arkansas Traveler publishes his famous paper. At the moment, he sits at his desk in shirt sleeves, busily getting out a special edition.
Traveler, what's the idea of printing this hit? New war industry to locate here. We'll have county's biggest payroll.
Well, what's the matter, Mayor? Something wrong?
You've got to call in that special edition and fast.
Holy smoke, why?
Well, Lester Ward, the agent negotiating for the new plant, just called me. He says he might change his mind.
He says he might change his mind? I thought the deal was set for him to buy the place at 13th Avenue in Peacock.
Well, so did I. But now he says he can't without the consent of his business advisor.
Fine thing. I thought he was business advisor of the Acme Tool Company.
What I'm afraid of is that Emmitsville made him a better offer.
Well, how could another town make a better offer than you made? Free water, free power, no municipal taxes for 5 years? Why, you've practically given him the place.
You don't know the half of it. I was even set to have the city give him the land, too.
What's this?
Oh, I stuck my neck way out. I didn't want some property owner to stick them. So the city acquired all titles for $26,000.
Well, this really is a mess.
Yeah. Ward said his business advisor gets in on the 210. I persuaded him to come to my office for a talk.
You better talk fast or you may lose more than your neck if the people hear what you've done. Who is this business advisor?
Well, I haven't any idea. You want to be at my office at 2?
I sure do. Meanwhile, Dewey...
Kill the special edition, boss.
Yeah, but hold the material. This paper's telling the town that we're getting that plant if it's humanly possible.
Doggone it, where are they? It's 2:30.
You know, Mayor, it's funny about this Lester Ward suddenly pulling a business advisor out of his hat.
You never can tell these days. Every business is wrapped in red tape. Yeah?
Mr. Lester Ward, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, have him come right in.
Maybe you're worked up over nothing.
Well, I hope so. Come right in, Mr. Ward.
How do you do, Mr. Mayor? Hello, traveler. Gentlemen, this is my wife.
Yes. How do you do?
How do you do?
Who is also my business advisor.
What?
How do you do, gentlemen?
Yes, sir. I never sign a paper without her approval. Do I, pussycat?
Oh, he says I bring him good luck. Don't I, pussycat?
Yes, pussycat.
Say, now, before we start, maybe you two would like to get a saucer of milk.
Well, this is indeed a surprise. You haven't seen much of our town yet, Mrs. Ward, but I know you're going to like it.
I don't know. The signs haven't been very good so far.
Signs? What signs?
Well, the minute I stepped off the train, I almost walked under a ladder.
Now, wait a minute. Do you You mean she decides where to put the defense plant, but by the good luck signs that show up in the
bad? Yes, that's right. Sure. The signs in your city are very bad, gentlemen. Just as we drove up to the city hall, a black cat crossed our path.
Well, now, the last time a black cat crossed my path, I found a $20 bill not a block further on.
And there must have been a spot on it somewhere.
There was, but I spent it anyhow.
In this argument, Judo, signs are not. The city's practically giving you the site for the plant. Now, if you'll just glance at this map. It's located at 13th Avenue and Peacock Street. And right.
13th Avenue and Peacock Street?
Oh, what's wrong with that?
That settles it. The number 13 is the worst luck in the world, and Peacock means, well, there's no use even discussing it now.
Look, Ms. Ward, ain't there any good luck signs?
Well, of course there are. Horseshoes, for instance, and the number 7.
Now, couldn't we move the street sign from 7th Avenue, Mayor?
And then there's a pure white horse with a black tail. Why, if I were to see a pure white horse with a black tail right now, I wouldn't hesitate for a second.
She's right, gentlemen. You can think whatever you want, but I had been proposing to Pussycat for 10 years, and it wasn't until she saw a white horse with a black tail that she said yes.
And the three of you have been very happy ever since.
But won't you at least look at the property?
Surely you know that the mayor, in his willingness to do you a favor, stuck his neck out and bought that property in the city's name.
I'd say that's the mayor's hard luck. I certainly never asked him to do it.
Well, now, it looks like all we can do is be good losers anyhow. The mayor will be glad to drive you over there tomorrow morning.
What? Well, I...
He'll be glad to. No trouble at all. Will he, Mayor?
Why, yes. Yes, I'll be very happy to.
Well, I must say, that's decent of you.
Yes, isn't it? Well, goodbye. See you in the morning.
Confound it, traveler. Why should I drive those two damaged bills? Think of my gas coupon.
Now, just think, Mayor. What if we found a white horse with a black tail for Pussycat?
I wouldn't care if... Holy smoke, traveler. You mean it?
I'm going back to my office to do some phoning. I'll see you in the morning at 13th and Peacock Street.
Where you been? The rumor's out, the defense deal's off, and everybody's been telephoning.
I haven't time to talk, Dewey. Julie, get me the mayor of Emmitsville on long distance, and after that I want to talk to Tom Brady. Get your hat, Dewey. Right after I put in these calls, you and me are going to find a pure white horse with a black tail.
Hey, traveler, you feeling all right? Should I fan your brow?
If you do, you better use a racing form.
No, traveler, the only white horse I've ever seen came in a bottle.
I got a black one turning gray from worry. Will he do?
Scarce in the 6-ply tire, traveler.
A white horse with a black tail? I don't know. Have you tried the butcher?
Vogue Beauty Shop.
Who?
Oh, hello, traveler. Will I do what?
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, listen, after the blondes I've bleached and the redheads I've henned, this ain't so tough. Don't worry about anything, traveler. So long. Oh, Pierre!
Oui, madame.
Have you got time to dye a horse's tail black?
Well, of course. I'll squeeze it in between Mrs. Plotnick and Mrs. Cruzbine.
Isn't it nice of the mayor, Pussycat, to drive us to Emmitsville, though we want to buy the plant there?
It certainly is, I hope.
Well, folks, we just didn't want you to have any hard feelings towards us, and, I'll be doggone.
See something?
Sure do. Over in that vacant field, there's a boy and a man with it.
Look, Pussycat, a pure white horse.
What of it?
Let's see, now. I declare, it's got a black tail, too.
Well, how do you like that?
Oh, really? You know, we'll be late for Emmitsville.
Drive over there, Mayor. Let's have a look at it.
Sure thing.
Yes, sir, a white horse with a black tail. You tending to him, son?
Yeah, just holding him for a fella.
Well, I'd say there's no reason in the world for you folks to hesitate now.
Well, Pussycat, what do you think?
Oh, dear, I don't know. I'm all confused now.
Emmitsville can't give you a sign like that, can it? Who does this property belong to, Mayor?
The city. And it can deliver promptly and with no strength.
Could you draw up a bill of sale right now?
I sure could. I've got it right here, as a matter of fact. All Mr. Ward has to do is sign it. And here's my pen, too.
Now, wait a minute, gentlemen.
Great sign over there, 13th Avenue on Peacock Street. Look, dear.
That's right. Why, we couldn't consider it for a minute.
Well, what about that white horse with the black tail? You can't find a better good luck sign than that.
Well, Trevor, I didn't know you were superstitious.
Well, I wasn't until these two pussycats crossed my path. Well, right now, the best sign I see around here is that man standing over there talking to the boy. Oh, Tom.
Yes, Traveler.
Folks, I want you to meet Tom Brady of the Department of Justice.
The Department of Justice?
That's right. And now, if you'll take a suggestion from me, you'd both better get out of town on the next train.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't think the folks in this town would be very pleased if they found out the crooked way you were trying to buy up sites for defense plants.
Someone's been talking, Pussycat.
You heard what this man said. Now get going.
All right, we're going.
Thanks, Tom. I couldn't have given a better impersonation of a G-man than that myself.
Traveler, how can I ever thank you?
Oh, I didn't do much, Mayor, except maybe get a black tail put on a white horse.
Well, what gets me is how you first suspected everything wasn't right about this Lester Ward.
Now, really, Mayor, that was kind of simple. Here the man was, an engineer, a nice-looking fellow with all this authority from a big outfit like Acme to pick a plant site for him. Yet he let a superstitious wife make his decision for him. Didn't make sense. So I figured he was just looking for an excuse not to locate in this town. An excuse we couldn't argue about very much. Now, you see, Mayor, you bought up this ground for the city and was willing to give it to him. What Ward wanted was to buy it up himself and make a nice profit transferring it to the defense plant. When you bought it, well, he didn't dare approach you with a crooked proposition, so he planned to go over to Emmitsville.
Well, I'll be darned. A crooked real estate operator on the side, hmm?
It's a lucky thing they left town as quick as they did. And it's a lucky thing they fell for Tom Brady, because actually all we had on them was a hunch.
Well, it might have been very embarrassing if they had been really superstitious, Trevor.
Yeah, wouldn't that have been terrible? Well, you know what I always say, all's well that ends well. Say, ain't that a pretty headline in my paper? New war plant to locate here. We'll have county's biggest payroll.
Now, wait a minute. What's that all about?
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Mayor. I called up the Acme Tool Company long distance, and they kind of went for the idea of locating here after all.
Well, say, that sure is wonderful news. And an awfully lucky break, too. Hey, isn't that a four-leaf clover you're wearing?
Yep.
Well, why is it in your buttonhole?
Well, Mayor, it'd be mighty tough getting a white horse and a black tail in the buttonhole.
With some plain stories about his fancy relatives, but before he does...
Say, mister, are you the client?
Well, yes, but stop interrupting me now. Who let you in here anyway?
I just walked in. I came to tell you I got a girl named Susie, and she thinks I'm smarter than you.
Oh, she does, eh? Why?
Well, because we listen to Bob Boys every Thursday, and when you say a daily bed with life boy stops for you, I tell Susie that's the bunk.
Oh, a real wise guy, huh?
Yeah, what else?
And when I describe the cooling, refreshing, utterly delightful and invigorating effects of a life boy shower, I'll bet you tell Susie not to believe a word I say.
Yeah, you guessed it.
A fine thing. And what do you say to Susie when I inform everybody that life boy is America's most popular bath soap, the favorite soap of the armed forces?
I just say,
Oh, well, I give up. If that's how folks react to my advice, I'll never again suggest that since we all perspire in warm weather, it's a good idea to avoid B.O. by taking a daily life boy bath. I'll never repeat that little refrain, from head to toe, it stops B.O. Never again, I'm through.
Oh, don't say, Mr. Lane, don't say that. Gosh, don't pay no attention to what I tell you, because you know what?
What?
I'm a dope.
Yeah, the
Did you hear that fella talking to Dick Lane? It's only a question of time. I'll have all my kinfolks on this show. Well, sir, you know, I was talking to Captain Terry Hunt before the show, and when I just hinted to him that I might play my bazooka tonight, he just begged and begged, but I don't care. I'm going to play it anyhow. I'm going to play my bazooka first, and then if I got any time left, I'm going to talk. Now, of course, I don't have to play the bazooka. I don't have to play the bazooka for a living. I can go to work. Grandma's making nice money welding at Lockheed. Why, listen, you'd be surprised how many actors have gone into working at those defense plants. They can do it if they have to. I know an actor friend of mine had never done a day's work in his life. And not long ago, he went to work at one of them defense plants. You know that after he'd been working there for a couple of days, why, he had the most terrible time. Lumps started coming out all over his arm, and he was just worried sick, and he wanted to get off to go to the doctor, and his wife was worried to death. But he was finally one day, the lumps just kept getting bigger every day. Finally one day, he did get a morning off, and he went to the doctor. And his wife was just pacing up and down in front of the phone, waiting to get that call from the doctor's office. And her face was just white. She was so worried. And finally the telephone rang, and it was her husband. And she went to the phone and says, "Were you examined?" He said, "Yes." She says, "Well, don't hold back. I want to know the truth." He says, "It's all right, dear. They're muscles." Now, tonight, as I said, I'm going to play the bazooka, and I'm going to play Mussolini's theme song. How come you do me like you do? Go ahead. Thank you very much.
best way to shave, but we all agree that no shave can be better than the shaving cream used to soften your beard. That's why so many smart men are using Lifebuoy. Lifebuoy shaving cream picks up and holds longer more moisture than any other popular shaving cream, and that makes all the difference in the world. Try Lifebuoy shaving cream soon. The makers of Lifebuoy will again bring you Bob Burns next week at this same time with more about his relatives, more doings of the Arkansas Traveler, and Spike Jones and his city slickers. Remember, Lifebuoy is the only soap especially made to stop
B.O.
Since the War Department does not endorse any product, this broadcast from the Long Beach Air Base Ferrying Division of the Air Transport Command does not constitute an endorsement of our product by the Army. This program has come to you from Long Beach, California. This is the National Broadcasting Company.